So let's start this morning by looking at a verse. Let's look at Psalm 33, verse number 11. And I want to focus on this verse because I want you to remember this. Keep this in the back of your mind as we go through this morning. It's a simple verse. It says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart for all generations." The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Jesus has plans for your future generations. Those are plans that include you. Think about the fact that Jesus has plans for your future generations, for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. He has plans for all of that heritage, and those plans include you. How many of you guys know who George Whitefield is? Okay, hold your hands up high so I can see how many people. Okay, well, I'm going to get to that because I do want to know. So how many of you know George Whitefield? If I add the information, I know he sounds like he's a jazz musician, but he's not. George Whitefield is a historical figure. Does that spark anybody's minds? Anybody else new? Okay, a little bit. Historical figure relating to our country's religious history. Anybody else add anything? So again, just let me see how many people are at least aware of who he is. All right. Put your hands down. I'm going to ask you guys, put your hands up if, those of you who already had your hands up, put your hands up if you would be able to explain to us who George Whitefield is in two sentences or less. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I just want to see how many of us have more than just a passing knowledge of who he is. It's not just the name. Okay, so one person out of all of us. We should know who George Whitefield is, and you're going to know who he is by the end of today. We should know who George Whitefield is because he's a part of why church services today in our country are the way they are. If it weren't for George Whitefield, we'd probably be doing things differently. They certainly were different before George Whitefield took place. Before George Whitefield in this country, church services, to say that they were dry is really not emphasizing keenly what those services were like. The clergy in America was learned, but there was no real Holy Spirit-inspired or influenced teaching whatsoever. Most of the clergy in America, they would actually write out their sermons, and then on Sundays they would get up and they would read their sermons out loud, usually without any joy, and usually with no passion for the power of the Word at all. But that all changed with George Whitefield. So we should be thankful. On Thanksgiving, we should be thankful for George Whitefield and what God did through George Whitefield. Now, Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is the time that we traditionally reflect back on those things that we're thankful for. Usually, sermons on Thanksgiving have to do with, you know, kind of looking at the history of that first Thanksgiving. And I will tell you, one of my favorite messages I was ever able to give was that first Thanksgiving message that I shared here at City on a Hill. I love that. So that's the standard. And while it's important for us to look backwards and to be thankful, we should be thankful to God for these spiritual foundations that He has established in this country. We should be thankful for that. But through George Whitefield, I want us to also see this morning that thankfulness is a forward expression of gratitude. It's a forward expression of gratitude for what Jesus is going to do through you to His glory. Because remember, the very first verse we looked at is His plans of His heart for all generations. He has plans in His heart for your future generations, and you are a part of those plans. That is something for us to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is good to look backwards with thankfulness, but I also want us to look forward with that thankfulness for what we, even though we can't see it yet, but we know and believe that Jesus is going to do through us to impact our future generations and to impact people even beyond your family. That is something to be thankful for. And that's what George Whitefield kind of represents to me. Now, we'll get back to Whitefield in a second. I want to take a moment and look at David from the Old Testament. Because David is truly the prime example for us of that forward expression of thanksgiving. David is a man, and we see this all throughout, especially when you look at his Psalms. David is a man that would always look backward and stir his remembrances of God's faithfulness. And then on that foundation, he would then look forward and he would offer confident praise to Jesus or to God for things that he had not yet seen. That's the example we see from David. In Psalm 42, David is actually talking about he's feeding on his own tears of sorrow for what he's going through at that moment. That tells you he's in a pretty low place if he's feeding on his tears of sorrow. But then David reminds himself of going to the house of God with the multitudes, with joy and praising. And this is what he says in Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? In some versions it reads, why so downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. David is actually speaking to his soul. David is saying to his mind, his thoughts, his personality, his will, he's saying, why do not be downcast? Stop looking at the situation and start putting your hope in God. David is saying to himself, to his own mind and thoughts, he's saying this, don't be downcast and don't look at the situation. Place your hope in God. David realizes from past history, David realizes that he's going to be praising God anyway. He knows eventually he's going to praise God because history with God has shown him that God will faithfully deliver him. And since he knows that he's going to be praising God eventually anyway, he's saying, soul, you may as well start praising him now, even before we see the evidence of what's to come. That's the example that we get from David. That is thanksgiving that is expressed forward. That's thanksgiving expressed forward with anticipation. This is what we should be remembering also. Again, remember, go backwards, look and be thankful for the things that Jesus has done in our lives. Be thankful for those things. But thanksgiving should also be a time where we are looking forward, like David, because through past experience, we know that Jesus is faithful to us. And because we know He's faithful, even when you're in the midst of the storm, you can still be praising Jesus. I'm going to praise you anyway because you're going to deliver me. I'm going to be better off after the fact than I was before. Because God's a God of abundance. So I'll go ahead and praise you now. That is an example of praise that is expressed forward. The thankful heart is just like David's. The thankful heart looks backwards and remembers and stirs itself on those remembrances of Jesus' faithfulness in your life. And then that thankful heart looks forward and with confident praise thanks Jesus and praises Jesus for the things that are not yet seen. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 2:10. I've realized in the last couple of weeks I keep going to verses and I never give guys a chance to even get there. So in the Amplified it says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Jesus Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. These are reasons you can be thankful now. All this is done. You can be thankful. You can have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness looking ahead. Even though you don't see what's coming, you know He's got good things planned for you and for your life, and to use you to touch future generations. Taking paths which He's prepared ahead of time, that we may walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Thank you, Jesus. That is a great verse. You guys aren't happy enough. I'm going to read it again. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, that's us, recreated in Jesus Christ, born anew, that we may do the good works which God predestined, planned before you were even born, planned before time, for us to be taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. You got paths in front of you that He's prepared ahead of time for you, that we should walk in them, living the good life that He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Man, that should excite us because we got good things in front of us. Yes, thank you, Jesus. But we got good things in front of us that we can enjoy, but also we can be thankful because we know that He has plans and pathways for us. And He's got plans in His heart for your future generations, for your children and your grandchildren, and for other lives that you're going to touch that you probably don't even realize. But these are the plans that He has for us. If we believe that verse, then we know that Jesus has plans for us. to advance his kingdom in ways that we cannot yet see. And we bring this about by looking backward with praise and thanksgiving, and then expressing that praise and thanksgiving forward as well. So let's start by looking backward. An astonishing revelation of the Word of God has been building this nation of ours over the years and over the centuries, unlike any people before us. The Word of God that we know and the revelation that we have in this country, we take for granted. It's astounding. The things that have become revealed, the things that you know and understand from the Word of God that your grandparents didn't understand. This is a building, continuing. It's a revelation of the Word of God that comes from the knowing of Jesus Christ. It's a Holy Spirit understanding of the power and authority that we have in Jesus, more than anyone has understood that in the past. There is a revelation knowledge, a revelation, an understanding in the hearts of the average full gospel believer in this country today that exceeds and surpasses the revelation of most of the clergy in the world throughout history. I mean, think about it. The things that we know and understand, the word is open and ready for those who are hungry and searching for him. The word is open for us to receive and to know him more. This is an amazing time to live in Jesus Christ. You know, there's never been, for a born-again believer, there's never been anything in the Word of God that's been hidden from us as a new creation in Jesus Christ. But if you've been a believer, even I've been a believer for 34 years. The things that I've seen take place in those 34 years with revelation and understanding that comes in this country, it's amazing. It's astounding. So why has that taken place in this country? And who's responsible for that? Well, a lot of it begins by going back to the Great Awakening. A lot of this goes back to the Great Awakening, which took place in the middle of the 1700s, before this was even a nation. The Great Awakening took place. The Great Awakening, and the voice of the Great Awakening, was George Whitefield, who I just spoke to you about. Let me show you a picture of George Whitefield. Now, you can thank me that I'm showing you a picture of George Whitefield, that this is kind of a nice picture of George Whitefield. Because there's a lot, if you look at the pictures, somebody niced this up a whole lot. Because George Whitefield, he was a powerful speaker. Literally, he had at one time, on Boston Commons, right before he was leaving on one of his journeys, he was heading back to England. On Boston Commons, he had, because of his oration and people so anticipated and were so moved and lives were changed so powerfully, on Boston Commons, 34,000 people gathered to hear him speak. The entire population of Boston at that time wasn't even 34,000 people. And imagine one man without any amplification speaking to 34,000 people. He was an amazing orator, an amazing speaker, but I say this picture because he was actually cross-eyed. So they kind of made this look nice. I think it'd be kind of hard to receive today from somebody who was. But so that's George Whitefield. So remember that picture. I gave you the nice picture of George Whitefield. The Great Awakening was a 25-year revival that took place in this country. And it's a 25-year revival that really changed the entire direction of our nation's history. It changed our direction towards spiritual benefits that we enjoy today and almost take for granted today. But it also, and this is important and significant, it also changed the direction of our nation politically. Because the Great Awakening was a large part of this nation's independence. The Great Awakening was prepared the minds of the general population for the Revolutionary War that was to come, and that whole spirit of the revelation. You can make a case, you can make an argument that the Great Awakening, of which George Whitefield was a prominent force, was a religious rehearsal for the political revolution that was going to culminate in the signing of the Declaration of Independence. That's how impactful and influential that 25-year revival was in the middle of the 1700s. You can make that connection between the Great Awakening and the American Revolution. During the Great Awakening, people had a heightened expectation. Now think about this. They had a heightened expectation for their ministers of the Word. They came to a place where they expected more from their ministers than their ministers were giving to them. And they actually stood up against the authority of the established church and challenged them to give them more of the Word. That's amazing. This is a time, and this mindset that they had, this is a mindset of questioning the very established authorities of the time, because they knew there was more and they expected more. And that expectation that they had for that religious more of that Word of God, that same expectation they had for more, that carried over to their political expectations as well. And they came to a place where they started to question the unchallenged acceptance of Great Britain's political authority over them. All of this led to those hearts and the minds and the mindset of the American Revolution. Many of the ideas of the American Revolution, many of those ideas are similar, if not parallel to, the ideas that found their roots and had taken hold in America during the Great Awakening. The expectations that had driven the one were evident in the other. The ideals of the American Revolution, those ideals are in concert, in perfect concert, with the religious ideals that had been established by the Great Awakening that preceded it. That's the power of the Great Awakening and what took place. Now, if we accept that premise of all those things that I just said, if you can accept that as historical fact, or at least a historical argument, if we accept that premise, then we have to recognize the fact that the Great Awakening and George Whitefield, who was the voice of that Great Awakening, we have to recognize the impact of the Great Awakening and him upon our political and our religious lives even today. Because all of those things had an impact on how we do things and who we are as a country, politically, and also how we worship and how we do things in this country today. When George Whitefield arrived in this country in 1737, the church in America was very lax. George Whitefield himself had said that most of the established clergy that he found in America were unfit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he said most of the established clergy in America at the time did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ themselves. They were learned, but there was no revelation. George Whitefield observed that the reason there are so many dead congregations in the United States was because dead men were preaching to them. That's his observation. That's the way things were when George Whitefield arrived in 1737. But George Whitefield brought with him a passion and a zeal for preaching. George Whitefield is the one, this was not standard fare before. George Whitefield was the one who brought a teaching that expected there to be a personal transforming conversion experience in Jesus Christ. That was not the norm that came out of the pulpits in this country at that time. That came with George Whitefield. This is who he is, and these are the changes that he helped bring to our nation. And this is the charisma that he brought. In 1 Thessalonians, that reminds me of just who he was and what he did. Reminds me of this in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That was not the case in the early 1700s. We look at our country and we look at our nation, and we were founded on religious. We should thank God for the Puritans and thank God for the establishments. Thank God for the pilgrims. Thank God for all that. But by 1700, most of America was not going to church. I told Donna that if you were in Virginia, Virginia had 62,000 Europeans living in it in 1700. 62,000 Europeans. There was 22 ministers to serve 62,000 people. They'd have traveled to where you were. So if you got to go to church, if church came to you once every 2 months, you were lucky. There was a gap from our foundations until the Great Awakening. And it's that Great Awakening which changed the direction of who we are as a people. And it forged those foundations and made them solid and made them strong. And we enjoy the fruit of that today. Everywhere that George Whitefield went, people were drawn to the Word of God that he spoke. And he left them hungering for more of the Word of God. George Whitefield is the one who began the tradition of the impassioned, beyond denominations, evangelical preacher. And that's a tradition that carries on right down to today. And these are some of the things that we see and appreciate in the church today were founded by one man, George Whitefield, who inspired these kinds of changes. Just so you can put it up there, just show a picture of, I just want you to see, this is a painting that was made of Whitefield. I forget when it was made, but I mean, he had outdoor meetings where thousands and thousands of people would come just because they knew that George Whitefield was coming. They would come from all the surrounding areas just to hear the Word of God. And the whole Great Awakening stirred in the hearts of the American people. It stirred a hunger and a desire for more of the Word, a hunger to welcome the Word of God. At his preaching, when George Whitefield would preach, things happened that never happened before in this country. People had conversions. They had personal relationships with Jesus Christ. This was not the norm. Now listen to this. When George Whitefield would preach, people would actually have visions. And there was people that actually had physical responses to the word that he spoke. It was called the jerks. This is a physical response. People were so moved spiritually and by the Holy Spirit to his preaching. That is not the norm. That's not the normal dry churches that were the status quo in America at that time. From George Whitefield also grew up a number of other preachers. And some of those preachers became extemporaneous teachers. And they believed that they were speaking. They had no notes. They would speak from what they called the impulses of the Holy Spirit. This is in the 1730s, 40s, and 50s. That sounds to me like charismatic meetings 170 years before the Azusa Street Revivals in California that marked the beginning of the charismatic Pentecostal movement in our country. 170 years before these things were happening. That is what George Whitefield brought to this country, and it changed the hearts of the people. They say that as a result of the Great Awakening, as a result, they estimate that 50,000 lives had conversion experiences just in New England alone. Now, remember, George Whitefield was going up and down the entire United States. Just in New England, they said that 50,000 conversions. That may not sound like a lot, but at that time in New England, there was only 340,000 people living in New England. So 50,000 people out of 340, that is a huge percentage. By today, that would be the equivalent of 25 million converts today. Can you imagine the impact in our country? If there was 25 million people converted to Jesus Christ with a passion for their personal relationship and with a hunger for more of the Word, I mean, can you imagine the impact? That was the impact and the effect that the Great Awakening had on this country. And that's why it changed us and prepared us for the things that we have become, that we thank Jesus for. All of that was from the Great Awakening, George Whitefield. Now there was others that were involved, but George Whitefield was the spark, and he was the voice of the Great Awakening. So let's be thankful as we look back. Be thankful looking back at the effects of the Great Awakening and George Whitefield. But remember, George Whitefield represents for us. He's a reminder to us that we need to be looking forward with praise and thanksgiving as well. We need to be forward-looking in that. Because George Whitefield didn't just touch the lives of the people that he spoke to. George Whitefield continued to touch and impact lives for generations to come. Your lives are affected today, whether you realize it or not, because of George Whitefield. He continued to impact people for generations to come. And that's the first verse we looked at. God has plans in his heart for future generations. He has plans in his heart for your future generations through you. George Whitefield is the example of that. We should be praising God, thanking him, even before I see how he's going to use me or how he has already used me, because we may not always see it. Thank God that he's using you and your children and your grandchildren and in the lives of others. Because just as George Whitefield was continuing to influence people, so can you. Jesus Christ has plans to use you to advance His kingdom. Jesus Christ has plans to use each one of you to advance His kingdom, to influence the lives around you, to impact lives beyond what you see, to impact lives beyond your vision and beyond your knowing, to His glory. This is to be your kingdom legacy. That is your kingdom legacy. What you do today resounds through the portals of time ahead of you to change future lives. Your lives are affected because of George Whitefield in the 1730s. What you do today affects the lives of your children and your grandchildren and others. This is what we should be thankful for. Be thankful looking backwards. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to be forward. I want a forward expression of gratitude and thanksgiving in anticipation of the things that I can't even see, but I know that Jesus is going to do by using each one of us. We are created for a purpose. Every one of us is created for a purpose. You're like a book whose story was already written. All you have to do is live it out by living in Him. And Jesus is with you in every chapter of your story. Jesus is with you. Even in the hard chapters. Even the hard chapters of your life. Testify to His glory and will impact others. Do you think that John and Kayla, do you not think that years from now what they've had to go through with that fire, it's going to impact. It's already impacted the lives of others as they watch, and it will continue to. The things that happen in your life, expect and anticipate that He's going to use those things. Every story of our lives is to His glory. Every chapter of your life is fruitful in Jesus Christ. Your life story is already ordained. And it can result. It can have results that are felt by your children, your grandchildren, and other generations and other individuals as you just live your life in Jesus Christ. Look at this verse from Jeremiah chapter 31. This is verses 16 and 17 from the Amplified Bible. I know I skip one, Tony. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and your children shall return to from the enemy's land. And there is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children shall come back to your own country. This is all saying the same thing. We should anticipate and expect that Jesus is using us to impact our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, and the lives of others. The things that you do today can bring freedom to your grandchildren. Freedom they don't even know that they need yet because of what you do today. That's something we can be praising Him for. And if you believe that, then thanksgiving should not just be looking backwards. If you believe that's a true statement, then we should be expressing thanksgiving forward as well. Praising Him forward. Let me go back in one of the verses that I skipped. This is also Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. Again from the Amplified Bible. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. You are His instrument. He chose you. He's got plans to use you. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet of the nation. Be thankful for the unseen kingdom legacy that is yours. Be thankful for it. You know, when you read the book of Psalms, one of the great things about Psalms is so many Psalms end with words of thanks for things that have not yet been seen, for things that are not yet realized. And yet words of thanks are expressed. That's the psalmist praising forward. That's the psalmist thanking Jesus, thanking the Lord for things, deliverances that they know are theirs, but they haven't yet experienced. You are the psalm writers of today. We are the songwriters of today with more power, with more truth, and with more victory because we're the songwriters in Jesus Christ. Our lives should be psalms written expressing our thanksgiving for our complete confidence in Jesus Christ. Our lives should be psalms that people in the future look at your life as a psalm and they're encouraged by it. Just in the same way that we read the Psalms of the Old Testament and we're still encouraged today, your life should be a psalm. Be thankful to Jesus Christ. Be thankful to Jesus that your life, every chapter of your life, is being played out like a psalm. It's being played out like a psalm to point people in the direction of Jesus Christ for years to come, not just today, for years to come. If you believe that, then you have much to be thankful forward to. Now, I know I used this illustration once before, but it's very poignant today, and some of you didn't hear it. I want you to see the connection, how even the small things that you do, be thankful for the things in the past. Yes, Jesus is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving for the things that he's done. Absolutely. But we also need to have that mindset of that forward heart expression of thanksgiving and praise for the things that we know and anticipate he's going to do for us and through us. There was, in the 1800s, there was a man named Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher. And he was very frustrated because one of the teenage students at his Sunday school kept falling asleep in his Sunday school class. So under what he felt was the influence of the Holy Spirit, he went to this teenager's place of work and he confronted him and he told him about his need for Jesus Christ and who Jesus was and that Jesus was his Savior. And that young man listened and Edward walked away from there and he felt like his words fell on deaf ears. He felt like he had failed to reach that young man. What he didn't realize was his words did have an impact. And that young man did give his heart to Jesus Christ. And that young man was Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody became the greatest evangelist in this country in the second half of the 1800s. Dwight L. Moody had crusades and evangelistic meetings all across the country. He became so influential, there was actually an English minister named E.B. Myers, or F.B. Myers, F.E. Myers, somebody Myers. He was in England, and he had heard and had been influenced by Moody. And he got an association with Moody. Moody invited him to come to the States. Moody invited Meyer to be a part of his evangelical team. And then Meyer stayed in this country, and he began his own evangelical outreaches. And in those outreaches, one of those outreaches, there was a struggling young minister whose name was Chapman, Wilbur Chapman, J. Wilbur Chapman. And Chapman was so influenced by Meyer's teaching that he began. He turned his whole ministry around. And he had impactful evangelistic meetings that reached literally millions of people himself. And he had millions of converts himself. And one of them was professional baseball player named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, who's heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday became the greatest evangelical minister, the greatest evangelist of the early 1900s. And Billy Sunday had a meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, where fantastic things happened. And there was a sweeping revival in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. And a number of those people who were saved spent the next couple of years praying and preparing, and they brought a crusade. They established a crusade and brought a crusade in 1934 to Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was like an 8-day crusade. In 7 days, nothing was happening. And the guy who was the minister of all of it, he wrote down on a piece of paper, and he said, "God, tomorrow, let your fire fall that will change the world." And the next day, a young man got saved by the name of Billy Graham at that meeting. Billy Graham, from 1934 on, has saved how many millions of people? He's had influence across the globe and is still impacting lives today. So we can go all the way back to Edward Kimball, who thought that he had failed. He was frustrated because he thought he failed in reaching that young man. He didn't realize that his one act of faithfulness impacted millions of people around the globe for the next 150 years and counting. What can Jesus do through your faithfulness? You may not see it. but it is worthy of forward praise. It's worthy of forward thanksgiving. So this Thanksgiving, let's look back. And yes, let's thank Jesus Christ for all the things he's done to bring us individually and collectively where we are today. But let's also have that forward expression of thanksgiving, that forward expression of praise. Let's thank him for the things that we know he's going to do through us because he has plans for us, for each one of us, to advance his kingdom to his glory. Your life is a story, and every chapter of your story is a psalm to his glory. And it's a psalm that can encourage and impact people for generations to come that you may never know about. Amen? That is worthy of praise. Let me just wind with this verse. This is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 3. Because as I say those things, I know that it sounds really good in your hearing, but you've got to believe that it's true. You've got to know that it's true for you. And you may not see how it's possible for you today, but for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end of it, it'll speak what God has ordained and called you to do. The things that he has established for you to do to advance his kingdom. You may not see it now, but the time is what's coming. It will come and it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Expect that Jesus is going to use. If you will be faithful to live your life out for Jesus Christ, he'll be faithful to use you in the ways that he planned that you can't even begin to imagine or even realize. People's lives touched. They may not even know your name, but because you influence your children and your grandchildren, and they do, the things that you teach and establish could touch lives for generations to come. That is a forward expression of thanksgiving. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.